Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. It is so good to see you on this second Sunday in Easter. My name is Kristen. I'm the Minister for Worship and Spiritual Care here at Rosedale United Church. I'm joined in leadership this morning by our wonderful music director, Dr. Sarah Svensson. Our choir is amongst you. You're seeing at the organ right now our junior organ scholar, Cadence Brassard. It is always really good to be together. I know that there are all kinds of places that you could be this morning, and the fact that you are here is really important to all of us. We thank you, and we hope that this time will help you to feel connected to the Spirit within you, around you, among you, and connect you to soul and to community. If this is your first Sunday here, a really special welcome to you. Know that after the service is over, we gather for tea and coffee and conversation just through that door right there. And we do hope that you'll stay and chat and just introduce yourself. If ever you are here with children, grandkids, other kids, this is a place where you can feel free to make yourself at home. It's okay to stand up, move around. We have a staffed nursery downstairs for ages 5 and under. And once a month, we do Sunday school. On the other Sundays, we've got a whole bunch of activity packs at the back. So here at Rosedale United, we are a hub supporting human flourishing in this community and around our city and around our world. Some announcements to that effect. Today, after the service, there's going to be an art opening here from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. for our current artist, Lori Stein. All are welcome to stay for that. Rimbala, this is movement and music for balance and mobility. Has started again, the spring session. These are happen Wednesdays at 11:30. You're invited to check that out too. Next Sunday, I want to flag that we have a special guest speaker for Earth Day. Her name is Mamona Hossein. She's a PhD student in applied eco-psychology, and her research explores what drives climate activists in their work. And she has found that faith plays an important role. She herself is Muslim. She serves on the board of directors for the Muslim Association of Canada. She's a lecturer at the University of Toronto. So we really do hope that you'll join us next week for that amazing guest speaker. We are here at Rosedale United proud to be an affirming congregation. We celebrate people of all sexualities, orientations, gender identities. We celebrate people as the Creator made them. We're grateful also to live and work and worship on land that has been the traditional home to Indigenous people for millennia. And I invite us now to join together in our call to worship. I'm going to invite you to stand as you are able, in spirit or in body. And let's join together in these words. Come to this place with open minds and open hearts. This is a place where we look deep within ourselves. Come and prepare to be changed. Let us worship God as we gather together and we sing, joyful, joyful.
Joyful, joyful.
Amazing. I invite you to turn to those who are around you and just greet each other with the peace of Christ. That's saying, peace be with you. And the response is, and also with you. All right, so in this moment, we invite our kids who are with us. They can go down to nursery if they like. It's a time of blessing our learning. This is not just for the kids, it's for us as well, to center ourselves a little more deeply into this time and to realize that, hey, learning and growing, that's also for us here. That's what we're doing in our service. I invite you just to sing along together our short refrain, I am a child of God. It's right there in your bulletin. And so we settle in, an invitation to settle ourselves and open our minds, open our hearts with all that each of us has brought to the service this morning, all that we're holding in our hearts, all the fullness of the past week, all that we're anticipating in the week ahead. I invite us into a moment of silence now, and then a time to gather in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you for the joy that comes in the morning after the long, deep night of sorrow. We gather with gratitude. Thank you for the hope that is born in our hearts to reveal a new day. When you raised Jesus from the dead, you showed us that nothing in all creation has the power to take us out of your hand or separate us from the wonder of your love. We pray for patience and courage and assurance for all those times in our lives when we can't see this, when it's not apparent or obvious. Jesus appeared to his friends and said, "Peace be with you." Let this peace be in our hearts this morning. Be with us as we gather here alongside the disciple Thomas and remember that you are the God who can use our doubts to deepen our faith and make us a people who carry good news into the world. Let peace be in our hearts this morning if we are carrying worry and fear. We know that new life takes time to form. New life is not always obvious. Sometimes we are hesitant to embrace new life, waiting until we're really sure about it, until we're sure it's real and we can see it. Wherever we are at, whatever kind of peace we need, we know that you are with us, God. We pray all of this in the name of your Jesus, who taught us to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. A time to open the theme now together. Easter in the Christian tradition is not actually just one single day, but an entire season. It actually lasts 50 days, and we're at the beginning of that right now. And the stories of that first week after Jesus' death and resurrection, they all say that that first week was important for new insights, for new perspective. It was when the disciples caught their first glimpses of new life. Matthew, Luke, and John, they all tell stories about the disciples in that very first week after Easter having incidents and encounters with new life and the risen Christ. So I'm going to do something a little bit different today. Throughout the service today, we'll hear short vignettes from that first week of Easter. During this particular time, this opening the theme time, I decided to take up the Gospel Stories Challenge and to just look at my own life during the past 7 days. No going any further back. So just looking at this first week of Easter to see what it tells me about new life. So as we open the theme today, I'm going to lift up 3 very short vignettes from my own week this past week, first week post-Easter, that got me thinking, and I'll invite you to ponder some of the questions that came to me from these incidents. And later in the service, we'll hear 4 very short vignettes, readings written from the perspective of Jesus's actual disciples in that first week post-Easter that share their insights and questions about new life. So what got me thinking about new life in this first week after Easter, and where did I see new life as a disciple in my own life? Monday afternoon, we were all at the park, and my husband Steve and son Sebastian were playing soccer, and Seb went to kick the ball, and something happened with his left foot, and all of a sudden he was on the ground and clearly in pain. And we all thought it was an injury he could just walk off, and that's what we told him to do. But when he called the next day from school, begging to come home because his foot was hurting so much, I started to worry. A trip to the ER confirmed that he had a fracture and extensive damage to the growth plates in his foot, and he would need to be in a cast for 3 weeks, non-weight-bearing for the first while, and resting. Just resting, no more activity What a pain in a week when it's been 25 degrees and sunny and all the kids are out playing soccer. Here was the first incident that got me thinking about new life. It is often the case that new life in us and in the world, new life and healing, are the product of deep rest. All around us right now, new life is coming up in the natural world. Spring flowers, new shoots, the first buds visible on trees, greening grass. The natural world isn't dead all winter. It's dormant. It's at rest. Deep rest and conservation of energy is what enables the bursting of life that we're witnessing right now in the world. And so, a first question to ponder: what is the connection for you between new life and time to rest? Are you emerging this spring from your own period of dormancy? Do you feel all kinds of energy within you that you're ready to release like the plants around you? Or do you feel like you're in a time of healing and energy conservation, a time of still nurturing new life, like rest nurtures bone growth and healing after a fracture? What's the relationship for you between rest and new life? We'll take a short musical moment to ponder. Next incident in this first week after Easter that gave me insight into new life, just using the fodder of my own actual life. I took our daughter Emma to a random drive test center so she could complete the written exam for her G1 learner's permit. Now, drive test centers are invariably bleak and dismal places. They're always adjacent to large parking lots and an assortment of sad-looking businesses. And the walls inside this particular drive test center were gray, and the lights were fluorescent and like blinking on and off. And the plastic seating was hard, and the staff were brusque. No one said good morning to us when we entered the drive test center. They said, take a number. Gruffly. The drive test center got me thinking about the unavoidable way stations we often pass through on the road to new life. In order to get to the new life that having a driver's license will grant, you first have to pass through the drive test center. In the same way, I think there are way stations that are unavoidable for each of us as we process and integrate loss or failure or transitions. New life is not always straightforward. There can be setbacks, detours. The morning we were there, we were in line with two newcomers from Afghanistan, and they wanted their driving credentials recognized so that they could be legally permitted to drive here and be able to access certain jobs, but they didn't have their paperwork translated correctly, and they were just sent away. My daughter choked the first time she did the written test, and she failed. Despite multiple successes on practice tests at home, she had to pay the extra price and write the test again. Others waited on the plastic benches nervously for their second or third driving test. Inside the women's washroom at the drive test center, the walls were covered in graffiti, but not the usual kind. They were universally positive, and affirming, encouraging everyone not to give up too soon on the pursuit of new life, to press on, to keep trying. Failure is just another word for wisdom, someone had written in black Sharpie. Even if you didn't pass this time, you are awesome, wrote another. I failed twice before I passed, someone else wrote. I did it and you will too. Hold on to your dreams. It made me think that sometimes our journey to new life is helped along by people who have already risen, so to speak. People who have made it through to the other side of an experience, people who've moved through failure or are processing grief or have raised their kids or settled post-divorced, or they've landed at a new job, people who can affirm to us that we will be okay even when we can't imagine it ourselves, who keep us going with their words when new life is not apparent for us. And so, a second thematic question for you to ponder. When have you benefited from a risen one whose testimony has encouraged you? When have you been a risen one on the other side of an experience and encouraging others? We'll take a musical moment to ponder. My final vignette on an encounter with new life from this first week post-Easter. I was out in the garden, as so many of us were this past week because of the gorgeous weather, cleaning up and clearing away the detritus of the past year's growth, and I lifted up a heavy pile of leaves, and they were all wet and stuck together, and I couldn't believe it underneath that weight, the most fragile green shoot. And I took away most of the old dead leaves that had been covering it, but then I felt a pang, like maybe I should have left them in place. I thought about the delicate balance of protecting new life and also making way for it. I hesitated over how much old growth to leave as a protective barrier and how much air and light and space to give. And so a third thematic question for you to ponder. What do you need to clear away in order to give new life within you space and light to grow? What new life within you do you need to protect and cover for a little while longer while it grows stronger? What new life in you needs to be met with patience and tenderness? A musical moment to ponder. Another vignette now from our scriptures this time, the disciple Thomas's story from the Gospel of John.
A reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19. To 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, And the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the authorities. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was also called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it on my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord, my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the witness of the early church. Thanks be to God. In these ancient words, may we hear wisdom for living today.
Thank you, choir. We're going to hear now four very short vignettes from the perspective of the early disciples in that first week post-Easter. Here are four testimonies of people who, for different reasons, did not expect to meet the resurrected Jesus. I invite you, as you listen, to ponder which testimony you most resonate with.
We had not been expecting him, and yet we had. We were frightened because he had been killed and they might be looking for us. Then, when some of the women said they had seen him, we were more frightened than ever. We had denied him, abandoned him, watched him die at a distance, and kept quiet about our previous association. What would he do with us now, we said, huddled in an upstairs room, locked away from the world, afraid of them, afraid of him, sitting silently with the shades down. But he came and unlocked every door with his unexpected words, "Peace, peace be with you. I am sending you out."
There were two of us walking together, walking away from it all. Walking and talking, more than talking, arguing and almost falling out. We agreed on what had happened. We knew what had happened as we were there. But what did it mean? The kind of revolution we wanted was not what we were given. And if he had set Israel free, why was he not around to proclaim its liberation? So it was good to have the company of a stranger who was as interested in current affairs as ourselves. It was good to have somebody make sense of our confusion and draw together the loose threads we had forgotten. Though it wasn't until we sat down to share a meal that our confusion really ended, when his feeding of us began.
For a week, I heard the same story from each of them, and the more often I heard it, the less I believed it. We had all been through a lot. We were a mess. The unthinkable had happened, and we were lost, guilty, and grieving. I thought that maybe the death hadn't sunk in. I thought they were refusing to come to terms with it, pretending that it hadn't happened. His hands had touched us, his breath had blessed us, and now they were gone, and all that was left was the memory. Yet in all my doubt, I envied them until doubt vanished and faith kindled again, when a well-known voice said, "Put your hands here."
We don't see much of him now, though we've met several times. He's touched us, talked to us, and even cooked breakfast for us over an open fire. But he's going soon. He's said as much, though how and when we'll not know until it happens. And though we don't want it that way, we know he has to go. so that his work can finish and ours can begin.
I invite us to respond with a short refrain, and you can stay seated for this refrain. It's Voices United 381, Spirit of Life. And so a different way into our lighting of candles this week, you are invited to light a candle as a response to the vignettes, the stories that you have just heard and have been hearing this morning, as a way of honoring an intention that you may be holding in your heart. You'll see at the front that there are three stations, three candle lighting stations. A station for courage here in the middle, a station for assurance next to the piano, and a station for patience here on this side. You are invited to move now to the station that represents what you most need on your journey to new life, or what you most wish for someone you are holding in your heart who is going through their own journey. You are invited to light a candle now in honor of what you most need on your journey to new life: courage, assurance, or patience. At this time, you're also invited to give an offering to the life and work of this church, and our box is located at the back. And if coming to one of these stations isn't the invitation for you this morning, you can also stay seated, but we've also got our regular candles on the side if that's more what you're feeling. All right, I invite you into this moment of response, and we say together, we offer the work of our hands and the love of our hearts, the gifts of God, as a blessing for the world. And I invite us now into a moment of prayer, prayers for our community, as we close this time of intention. Let us pray.
Lord Jesus, here are your disciples and those we represent who need to meet you in the midst of fear. Travel the distance we have traveled from you. Dispel our anxieties about ourselves, our past, our faith, and open from the outside the hearts we unlock to you from within.
Lord Jesus, here are your disciples and those we represent who need to meet you in the midst of confusion. Help us to identify your voice beneath and above all the other voices we hear. Assure us that there is a calm at the heart of the storm, and feed our faith on the certainty of your presence and all your promises.
Lord Jesus, here are your disciples and those we represent who need to meet you in our doubt. Help us to hold graciously those questions to which there are no easy answers. Enable us to discern the inability to believe, which comes from our reluctance to trust. Help us to identify your hands wounded among us.
Lord Jesus, glorious and resurrected, and willing the best for us, and daring us to have courage with you. As we walk with you, give us your hopefulness, give us your toughness, give us your peace. Amen.
I invite us to stand and sing. And we're going to sing verses 1 and 2 and, no, we're going to sing verses 1 and 4 and 5. Yeah, 1 and 4 and 5. Those are the verses for this morning. Of 5:12. All right, 1, 4, and 5.
Thank you.
Friends, we go out into this afternoon and this week with eyes primed and open now, ready for glimpses of new life in our own lives, in and around us, and also for how we can support new life that's growing in others. We go with the companionship of God, we go with the power of the risen and resurrected Christ, and we go always with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And we go extending a blessing to ourselves, and we sing together a parting blessing.